winning trophies. I'm inexperiencing a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? How you doing? Another nil-nil draw this time against lowly Crystal Palace, sir. Who's ready for a top four race instead of a title race? Just didn't have the magic today. Nothing doing. One shot on target. Absolute bore. Lackluster, flat performance from the lads. How you feeling?
Sir, the mighty Crystal Palace from South London. South London's number one. If you've ever been down to Selhurst Park, they beat us at our house in September, and we can't do the business. No late Matic winner here today, sir. A tough one for all United fans. Three nil-nils in a row. What is that? Almost 4.5 hours of no goals from Manchester United. But that's 4.5 hours of clean sheets as well. You can look at it both ways.
Excuse factory, we're going to be working overtime today, but I like that. It's true. We were leaking goals. Now the defense is shoring up a bit, but everybody lost their scoring boots. It's like we mentioned in the hot take, Bruno Fernandes had a bit of an off day, but the whole team kind of goes with that. No other creativity, right? No Pogba to call on, no Mata, no Donny van de Beek. Could have used them today.
No, absolutely. Sir, what is going to happen? It's like, could you imagine Cavani goes down, Rashford hits a bad patch of form, Martial hits a bad patch of form. This is compared to last season. Also, Greenwood can't find the mark. I mean, he's playing decent, but there's just nothing clicking up front for those front three. And the point that you and me talked about during the match was that Gary Cahill, center back for Crystal Palace, easy day. Easy day at the office. You would have to imagine if they were going to get a nil-nil against Manchester United, he would be haggard, running all over the place, getting pulled out of position. And we saw none of that. The attack is just too pedestrian. It could be the games. It could be fatigue. It could be Bruno losing his mojo. What is it, sir?
I don't know. I wish I knew. I'd be a very rich man, sir, if I could diagnose this team's problems just like that. Probably is a bit of the both, but I think it was today. Just relying on the same tired legs and Bruno Fernandes, not have anyone else to create anything, right? Not having those other creative outlets in Adani or Amata would have been great today to have, is really making this team a little single-threaded because I think people know how to hurt us. Force it narrow and just double-team the crap out of Bruno. Put in some cheeky fouls as well. No, we didn't get a single call today. No one worries about that. But either way, wasn't good enough offensively. Weren't quick enough. We're sloppy. A lot of balls given away. A lot of bad passing in the midfield for my El Pastor friend, sir. Wingin, let's go.
Some of the passing is fucking scratchy.
Sir, beyond scratchy. It was scratchy. It's like a little scratchy. It was sloppy.
Look, Ole admitted it in the post-game presser. He was disappointed. It was a disappointing performance. You know, going forward, just... the attack for Manchester United. The good part about it is when your attack has no mojo, there's only one way to go, Joe. And that is up. And we had it before. We lost it. We should be able to get it again. I mean, we've been dying for a goal. Sorry. It's just all fans. We hear that you're like upset. You sit down, you watch three games in a row, no goals. I mean, that's just brutal. That's brutal, sir.
That's brutal. And also it's like this game was brutal. For United fans, one shot on target, like you said, you would expect Cahill and the goalie to be pinned back all day, making tons of saves. United just turning the screws. We did not turn the screws. We will get to that match recap. So there were fewer chances in the second half than there were in the first half. So just not enough doing from United. I don't know. You don't blame it on tired legs, but whatever it is, sir.
At least City,
we have a different setup. We don't have to go against a team that's intent to defend. We can bring out the old counter game. Dan James, baby, on the counter.
But Roy Hodgson made a great comment in his post-game presser. He was talking about how Cavani's such a threat. Any ball in, he could score. And then I was thinking, well, why is he getting any service? And you think about it, well, is Rashford really a left winger? Yes, most likely. But is Greenwood really a right winger? No. And we had good attack down the left-hand side. I thought when we were clicking, Luke Shaw and Rashford looked sharp. But then on the right, it'd be sometimes Aaron Wan-Bissaka and then Greenwood kind of cutting in. There really is no balance to Manchester United. And you could say, hey, we could use a Jadon Sancho. Could use a Jadon Sancho. This has to come down to look at Ole's putting square pegs into round holes to a certain extent. And when you're trying to break down a team, you got it. Cavani has to be service all day. And we didn't get it because we don't have the winger, sir. We don't have the width, the attacking play. That's why everyone goes narrow, and it looks pretty tough, especially when you have Fred Matic in the middle. I thought Matic played decent. Fred, you know, Fred is Fred. That's what you're going to get. One shot a game, not going to go in, but it's just sort of what else could Ole do? Clearly, everyone's thinking Paul Pogba, but really, we're starting to see Manchester United without Bruno Fernandes in the best form of his life, which is literally the past year. He's regressing to the mean.
Oh, he's always going to cool off a little bit. And also, people know how to shut down United a little bit. If you focus on Bruno Fernandes, a lot of the creativity is going to go through him, especially if they're intent to defend. But wasn't good enough from the lads today, partly because of the options you have at your disposal. You know, that midfield, sir. Fred, you know, I don't want to pick on a player, but you got to be able to pass through the midfield and give him the ball away so many times that we could never get a counter going. But it wasn't, there's plenty of blame to go around. No one played well in the front half of the pitch. Defenders, I would say, Bayern and Maguire, they had some work to do.
Sir, we're hitting whinging territory. And look, all fans are probably pissed. We haven't looked at Twitter yet, but I imagine everyone's like pretty fired up. Look, in the last 21 games, sir, we've only lost two. A lot of draws and a lot of nil-nil draws. I think Gary Neville summed it up best at the end of the match. He's like, you can lose as a Manchester United manager, but you can never play boring football. And what we're seeing right now is boring, and the fans are fired up, sir. And you and me feel that to a certain extent. These last three games were brutal. And don't forget, we also drew Chelsea earlier in the year, sir. It's one of those years, nil-nils all around. Quick PSA for the podcast. If you want to support the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. You know it. We do not have any commercial sponsors, no underwear, no meal kit delivery or anything like that, sir. Just me and Alex sitting in the podcast bunker, giving you that bias fan take from the couch. If you want to support us, help us keep the lights on here, you can check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We post a monthly exclusive behind-the-scenes podcast content. We also pre-release photos of our merch there as well, different logos, other things we're doing on behind the scenes. You can sign up for tiers, anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. We believe it's a great way to support independent fan content. And a big shout out to our new Patreon members, Nick from Malaysia, sir, and Louis Davalos as well. They signed up this month. Please check it out. If you're interested in supporting independent fan content, your support does go a long way for everything we're trying to do with the website, the blog, our merchandise, etc. And yes, please check out our blog, www.americanreddevils.com. We have amazing fan-generated content covering the club, the Glazers, and everything in between. We also have some great merchandise. Click on store, sir. We just got our blankets in. They look amazing, sir. New Stan Chow logo blankets.
New Stan Chow design blankets. We also are giving away Stan Chow design stickers as well. And there's an easy way to get it. All you have to do is write a 5-star review on iTunes. It's a great way for us to get found organically, and it costs absolutely nothing to you. This is what we ask you to do. Write a 5-star review, ideally a little bit cheeky, and send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and we will send you some free stickers right away, sir. Also, we're on Google News now. Don't forget to follow us on Google News. What else we got?
Sir, we're trying to get that biased fan perspective on the couch. Cut through all the jargon. Everyone talking, we're going to sign Haaland, etc. Nope. Nope. Nope.
I wish.
Nope. Nope. Manchester United financial call is tomorrow at market close, so 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. I will be recording it and uploading it to our YouTube channel as well. If you're interested in hearing Ed Woodward speak, he doesn't speak a lot, but he has to speak to Wall Street, sir, and we will be a listening. Without further ado, let's jump into it. Crystal Palace nil, Manchester United nil, sir. What beats watching 3-0 matches breaking down? 3-0 matches here at Selhurst Park, game week 27. Let's get into that lineup. Dino, the world number two in net. Luke Shaw at left back. Maguire by center back pairing. Juan Bissaka at right back. Matic, Fred midfield, Rashford, Bruno in the hole, Greenwood on the right, Cavani up top. Surely, surely this team can beat lowly Crystal Palace run by Roy Hodgson's men.
Roy Hodgson, tactical genius, sir. You'd think this starting 11 would be good enough. Good to see Bailly back in the mix. And obviously, Edinson having El Matador back in the fold. The only thing that worried me, sir, was that when you looked at the bench, there was like, where is everybody? Where's where's De Gea? We found out that was personal reasons, but where's Donny? Where's Mata? A team like this, you know they're going to defend. You know it's a small stadium. That was my only concern.
Yeah, you look at that bench of Lee Grant. Are you having a laugh? Victor Lindelof, Telles, Twanzebe, Williams, Ahmad, James, McTominay, Shoretire. McTominay, James, those are the two real players that you might think would make an impact. short of a defensive injury, and they end up coming to the game. So like you said, bench is a little light, just like Lauren Blanc said about PSG back in the day. So it's too light up front for Manchester United. First half, United come out sloppy. Palace on the front foot, early chances for Crystal Palace. What's going on? Wake up.
We're giving those balls away. I think it was Maguire gave away an easy chance in the 7th minute. Thankfully, nothing came of it. Same with Bae. He gave the ball away once. Matic did. We were just sloppy in those early 15.
Matic had a rocket, though, in the 13th minute. Deflected, kind of bounced up at the keeper. I thought this was going in, sir. Matic owns Selhurst Park. Great save from the Crystal Palace keeper.
Great save from the keeper. I was thinking, this is more like it. Let's turn it on. And actually, for this 10 minutes, United played some good football, but it was just... you know, a little bit, just too little of that. We couldn't keep it going.
Most of the attack coming down the left-hand side. Bruno whiffed on a Shaw chance. I thought Shaw played really great. Shaw seems to be in good form. When everyone's looking a little lackluster, Luke Shaw coming off pretty well for Manchester United.
Absolutely, and that was the big chance in the 16th minute when he was feeding Rashford, who made a nice little move, but just pulled it just wide. Sir, this was a big chance.
Sir, you got to finish. You play to win the game. This has to go in the net, you know, especially when our chances are coming few and far between. This has to be a goal for Marcus.
The thing is, it's 60th minute. You're like, oh, surely we're going to create far more chances. And you wouldn't think this was a big moment in the game. And actually, it was a huge moment in the game because sort of break down that game. Ain't much to it.
That's really the problem, is because, you know, this Rashford chance should be happening 6 to 8 more times in the game. Greenwood getting on the ball on the right-hand side. Rashford getting on the ball on the left-hand side. Bruno popping it from just outside the box. Cavani header. Like, there should be mixing up. There should be much more movement. We should be getting shots on target, sir, and just not being able to produce. There are no excuses, sir. And when you say you look at that bench, it is concerning for Manchester United at the moment. No Martial, even, and he's in a drought, right? When is that drought going to end? When is the Marcus, et cetera, sir? We're dying up front.
It's also the player. I think today, less so up front, was like the players that really haven't been relied on that we've had just kind of waiting in the wings, and i.e. Donny van de Beek and Juan Mata. It's like, this would have been a great game for them because it was just, they were so congested in the middle of the park that you needed a little bit of that class to kind of free up some of those players. Calling out for him.
Absolutely. 43rd minute. Aaron Wan-Bissaka puts in a great ball. I thought he played very well. This one as well was, I thought this was a dunk goal for Cavani, but Ward clears right before. This was a legendary ball from Aaron Wan-Bissaka. He was coming home to Selhurst Park, sir. He was putting in a shift on the right.
He was. And, you know, I thought for early parts of this game, Luke Shaw was the best player. There was so much going through the left. United was playing quickly. And then, I don't know, the Palace grew into the game, or we slowed down. And we just couldn't pick a pass. We just felt like we kept giving the ball over. It was ugly stuff at times.
Scratchy. Going in at halftime. Two good chances from United. Maybe three. You got the Matic chance, Rashford chance, and then you had that Aaron Wan-Bissaka sort of cross into the box. How are you feeling at halftime going in?
I mean, I figured you could go up from here. You know, we did create some chances in the first half, but if you look, unfortunately, our first half was our better half. I mean, we created far more chances in the first half. Not what you'd like to see. United came out like a dud in the second half.
This is what kills me the most, right? It's like, you know, when we've watched a lot of shit football as Manchester United fans over the last 7 to 8 years. So if you're listening, you know it. The one thing I will say is different qualities of managers, right? Clearly you have the Mourinho troll on everyone, the press conference, the distractions, all this stuff. We would play like shit under Mourinho in the first half, and then second half come out Barnes, like just killing it. I don't know what he did to the players in the locker room. I don't know what supplements he's handing out, but we would just come out like fired up, and we would maybe hit three in the second half and win, right? You know, you went to that famous game at Crystal Palace where Matic had the banger. When we go in after a shit first half or not being able to score against lower opposition, we come out looking worse. This coming out second half early, Manchester United, we should be like really fired up. And Ole has never really been able to get the lads up for the second half. That's something you could say it's the manager, you could say it's the player, something, but just the quality of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, when we need to come out and be like, that's a critical time in a match when you like, you get the instructions, you come out, you're like, all right, tough first half, let's come out, try again. To come out the way we did, this is what I think fans are kind of capturing. It's like it's a pedestrian attitude, not worthy of the shirt, not worthy of the badge here.
I mean, that word you said, pedestrian, this was a pedestrian performance for most of those Manchester United players. I don't know if it's a second half phenomenon. I think we start halves slowly. And I think like both halves were guilty of this. Many of games in the past we've been guilty of this. But today, I mean, first half was one thing. Second half was bad.
We created nothing. We always start the match shit and then we start the half shit. So it's like,
but that whole second half, we started shit and we didn't do any, like, second half, sir. That's the second.
No, I'm just saying, but there's
nothing happened.
There's like ailments, common themes. You know, this is one theme. Starting poorly is a common theme. It's coming out the second half, not really like turned up, which I would expect us to come out the first half. Usually, you could talk about Sir Alex. We play Barcelona Champions League final. First 20 minutes of the game, we're bossing them all over the pitch. Then you lose it from there. Okay. But, you know, you get coming in half, then the manager can kind of get you together. You know what I'm saying? There's like parts of the game you can't screw up because you got the game plan. You should be fired up. Early in the first half is not what have been. Early in the second half isn't. But from there, things can change. Subs, tactical changes, etc. that players can anticipate on the fly. I just don't know why we struggle in these positions, sir. It's just, it's really tough to watch sometimes.
It is, and it's a good question. I don't know the answer.
So we should have beat Barcelona Champions League final, by the way. Still breaks my heart.
Well, we didn't. I don't think we approached that game the right way. That's for another pod.
Ronaldo had that hit.
Yeah, but the problem is we tried to go play toe to toe. This is the wrong. We're freaking out Crystal Palace.
So you know what? That makes me happier than this.
From 2009, Rome playing against one of the best teams of all time.
Dreaming of the golden.
We had one shot on target in this game. Right. That's the takeaway.
Well, sir, how do you spice up a 0-0? You start talking about Champions League finals.
Do you want to talk about that? Okay. I'm sick of talking about this game. Okay. There's no highlights.
Okay, we start poorly the second half. Crystal Palace. We're back to Crystal Palace, sir. 2021. 59th minute, Townsend goes close after a Palace free kick. 74 sub, McTominay for Fred again. 65th minute, we're just dying.
Too late.
Dying.
Too 15, late.
But I think it's 15 minutes in the second half, and you just got nothing doing, dude. Nothing. And the ball, like, the position of the team, where we're playing the passes, it's just so bad. And I was like 65th minute screaming for a sub. You just knew we had to have it, and it comes in the 74th. Again, another theme under our current manager, 76th minute sub, James Rukavani. I think James has to be early 60s if you're really looking at this team, being honest. 81st minute, Greenwood blasts it over. Another great chance for Greenwood. He had one against Chelsea, had one here, not converting, but I do see promise. He finds a little window, and it looks like it's about to go in for a banger. So credit to Greenwood for this chance.
This is a whisker away from being like, yeah, goal of the week.
But he's got that in him.
No, he does, and he's 19 years old, and there's always going to be a second season syndrome, right? Like the come down from last year. I mean, he was like such a barn burner. He was hitting these unbelievable goals that was likely not sustainable like as a 19-year-old. So he needs time, but this team likely needed reinforcements. You're going to have to, you know, I thought – James came on and McTominay came on. They actually looked pretty well. You know, I thought McTominay opened up some space, made some good runs. Same with James. But this is the common theme that you talked about. These subs should have been made earlier because you could tell early that, like, Fred was just not having a good game on the ball.
No, absolutely. And then 90th minute, Dino with a big save. I mean, this is one where you talk about De Gea coming out. Dino came out with conviction, gets the save. He was probably offside, didn't go to VAR, obviously, because he made the save. But big one from Dino. And this is the type of energy you like to see from a United number one, right? And De Gea obviously out. We don't know what's going on with De Gea. And then he's obviously, there's been some controversy about him maybe leaving in the summer as well. So, you know, I think Dino's a solid keeper, sir. I love to see this. Love to see the clean sheet.
He's the future. I mean, I hate to say it, De Gea. We love him. Title winner under Fergie and saved our asses in many ways through the dark days post-Fergie. But it's the future is Dean Henderson. I mean, he's 23 years old. He is solid at the back. He's like the next generation, better on his feet, better, more physical, can like hold his own in the box, which I think matters now. It's like De Gea is getting the shit muscled out of him week in, week out. It's inevitable. I don't know how it's going to play out, sir. Maybe just like Dino just grabs a hold of that starting position from here on out. But it's going to be a big decision for Ole to make eventually.
Absolutely. And another theme here coming towards the end of games is you think we'd be turning the screws. You think we would be judicious with the ball possession. We would be passing it around, looking for the right opportunity. Palace would be nervy in the box, clear, corner, clearance, nothing like that. You know, very sloppy from United, not able to have any sort of semblance of constructive build-up play. United just, you know, don't have it. And that's all she wrote, sir. That's the 0-0. You know, the highlight of that breakdown was talking about Ronaldo almost scoring against Barcelona in the 2009 final. So that's a tough match.
Can we go back to breaking down the 2009 Champions League final? I'd rather talk about that. I mean, I'll say it. Like, it's more defensible that we lost at the beginning of the season with no preseason against Palace. Than this is one of the worst performances we've had in a long time under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So the boys, like, Palace almost grew into it. We looked like we had no heart. Bruno was the only one running around until James and McTominay came on. It was just wasn't what you want to see.
No, not at all. And, you know, you say whatever, you know, you talk about mojo. You talk about last year, Greenwood, Rashford, Martial. They had the mojo flowing, sir. Right now, they need some superstition, something, sir. They need to, like, burn a cursed jerseys or something. They need to, like they got to fix it because this is, like, they're dying. They're absolutely dying. Rashford gets his goal every once in a while, but as far as just, remember when Cavani was scoring for us? And the feels around that, how it loosens everyone up, and then other people can get goals, and it's just there's sort of a snowball effect. But that being said, I'm not abandoning this team. It's like I'm going to back them. Did we lose? No. I mean, are we in a top four race? Yeah. Are we in a great position? Yes, we are. Have we only lost two in the last 21 games? Have we drawn too many? Yes. Everton comes to mind. You know, Sheffield United comes to mind. Like. Some of these draws, they suck, but drawing Chelsea against Tuchel is doing very well at Stamford Bridge, not terrible. This one, it's tough because the fans, the plebeians, you know, they're shouting for blood, sir. We want to see goals. Rashford, we want to see top corner. We want to see bangers. Cavani, header. We want to see that you shooting the arrow. That's why we're fans of this team, and we're not seeing it, sir. So we're getting a little antsy, and I feel it, but we're second place in the league. We're in FA Cup, Europa League, and if this is the lull, where we're drawing Chelsea, we're drawing Crystal Palace, and then we beat Man City at the weekend, then nobody's going to be complaining.
No, and you know what? This team sometimes needs a big opponent to wake up, and they're kind of like due for a big, big opponent, and you don't get any bigger than Manchester City, especially given the run of form they're on. They're the title leaders. That, you know, it's theirs to lose at this point, so just going out there and just giving them a knock in the face. They're playing like, I know we can beat them. You know, maybe their squad's a little deeper than ours at the moment, but that being said, it's like they're a bunch of baby bitches, and we got to take it to Pep. I think we switched old school, bro. Just play counter. Dan James, Rashford counter. Will, you know we will. Can't wait.
Sir, we'll break that game down.
I got more faith in that. You know, the counter works.
Sorry, you bet it.
Plus 500.
So possession-wise, 63% of the ball, one shot on target. As you say, worst performance of the year. That sums it up right there. Match reaction, Manchester United's sixth goalless Premier League draw of the season. Their joint most in a campaign along with 04, 05, and 16-17. Louis van Gaal's army, sir, and United have drawn three consecutive matches, 0-0 for the first time since October 2015 under Louis van Gaal's army, with a third game of that run as a goalless draw, sir.
And only in sex masochism, then it is allowed.
Sir, I was thinking about sex masochism when I was watching this game. I was like, it would be punishment just watch the second half on loop forever. That's like hell. That second half was brutal.
Sir, LVG knew we just needed to get some more
long balls
up to Cavani. There you go. Filani, Cavani, it rhymes. There you go.
Where's Filani? Sign him up, sir.
Manchester United are the fifth English top flight team to remain unbeaten in their first 14 away matches of a season after Leeds United in 73-74. Liverpool 87-88 and Arsenal in 01-02 and 03-04. You know the Invincibles, sir. You've heard the story. And then we came along and just ate their lunch. This was United attacking midfielder Fernandez's 21st away Premier League match, and he has yet to lose one. Only Manchester City forward Gabriel Jesus and former Arsenal keeper Jens Lehmann, 23, have a longer unbeaten away starts in the competition. And Crystal Palace had more shot in Wednesday's match 8 than they had managed in their previous two league games combined, sir.
It's an indictment. It's an indictment of United. We held, but could have gone bad.
What do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yes, hello, Ole.
Hi.
So only one shot on target tonight, and this is now the third 0-0 game in a row for you. Do you have any explanation to what has happened with your goal-scoring form recently, and are you worried about the development?
Of course, we're not happy if you don't create chances enough to win a game, of course. It's been a week with no goals, and sometimes three games sounds a lot without scoring. Of course, we've not conceded either, but a week in a season like this sometimes is you just don't hit the form that you normally had and that you have had for many, many months. So it's a bit of a worry. Of course it is. But I know that the boys are giving everything. And that's the thing. We play every 3 days and I know they're giving everything they've got. So attitude and approach, I'm very happy with. The quality, we need to get back to what we know we can do. Yeah.
Ian Bolton.
Ollie, hi. Look, with that last minute save, how much do you have Dean Henderson to thank for getting a point against Crystal Palace? And are the personal reasons that kept David De Gea out of this match, are they likely to keep him out at the weekend against Manchester City?
I can't really say how about David. It's, of course, a private matter. So Dean is ready if he's called upon. You saw that. He kept his concentration. I think maybe, or what I've heard anyway, he was probably been called offside. But at the moment, I thought that Dean saved us a point because it looked like that was a deciding moment. And that was probably the biggest chance in the game. Maybe apart from Marcus's in the first half, yeah, there was good play and Marcus just put it wide. That was a little moment that we felt we could have, if we'd scored there, that's the moment we were on top. Apart from that, it was a very, very even game and hard-fought game.
Sir, I watched the Sky Sports just right after the match interview with Ole, and he was a little harsher than this. This is like the official taped, you know, behind the sponsors after the game, not the pitch side. Pitch side, he said disappointment. He was a little harsher on the lads. I think that was his gut to kind of say. Now I think he's a little more Ole Mr. Nice Guy mode, trying to bore you even more than the nil-nil. What do you think of that?
I think he's trying to protect his players, doing what he does, which is usually just not give the pressers too much to feed on. You know, that first question, obviously looking for disappointment. But he did make a good point. It is still clean sheets, even though we're not scoring goals. But so it's all about the weekend. It's all about the weekend. It's a big match. It's one of the biggest matches of the season anyway, even before you look at the title. I mean, excuse the table.
The title. Title. So yeah. We're just trying to win playoffs. A game, sir. We're just trying to win a game. Before we get into the weekend, sir, I ran some stats here at the American Red Devils. Stats are not our strongest point. We're just giving you that biased fan take from the couch. But there was something that sort of shifted with Manchester United, how we started the year, how we're kind of playing now. And I think that big game against Liverpool where if we went to their house, you know, beat them, and we decided to sort of play really conservative. I think there was a shift in sentiment at United, and I think the numbers will say that before December. I tried to split it down the middle. So December 17th, we played 20 matches in all comps. Our goals against average per game was 1.4, and our win rate was 60%. Since December 17th, we played 23. Our goals against have been 0.83, much improved, almost twice improved, and our win percentage is 52.2. So when we're shoring it up at the back, we're kind of giving something up front. And I think United and Ole in the big games has been hesitant to go for it. And we have gotten a lot of draws. So, you know, concede more goals, win more games. That's more the Manchester United way, sir. You know, Rio Ferdinand said it. We'd be happy to give one to get one. And I think we're seeing some point along that you can split the games differently. The stats and the trends are there. It's really interesting how we were conceding more, winning more, and now we're being more conservative in these games. And it's not coming off for you. I mean, the 52.2% is not terrible, but if you looked at the goals scored, it'd be abysmal.
Well, it's amazing because, sir, stats don't lie, but at the end of the day, it's like, remember how much we were talking about how leaky this defense was, and if we could just shore up that defense, our attack is just ripping and rolling, and we'd be, you know, off to a 21 and number 21. I think it's a little bit more complicated than that. I think Paul Pogba went down. I think Marcus Rashford and Bruno Fernandes have both, like, cooled off a bit versus where they were in December, and at the same time, they're not getting any help from Cavani, Martial, or Greenwood, so...
No, that is true. I'm just saying... We played the Liverpool game, going to Anfield, all the marbles. I believe they were ahead of us. We win we go up by a big margin and we played it safe, right? City played it safe. Arsenal showed them respect, played it safe. You know, I think that there was a switch. I think that Liverpool game, obviously it's kind of insane to say you want to go to Anfield and attack. This isn't FIFA, sir. You know how you and me might play it as two fans sitting on the couch. But something about ever since then, we kind of have given up our edge going forward. And even against Chelsea, I saw like initially we were trying to sit back. Then we tried to open it up. And there was a little indecisiveness about what we're trying to do. And it might be to protect the back line, playing the two midfielders in front. Ole hasn't been switching the formation a lot either. We saw the back three before. We haven't seen much of that either. And so maybe more conservative from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to save the defense. I don't know. But either way, it's kind of an interesting trend from United.
So this is some of that X-Files stuff. We need that music playing. I mean, maybe you could be onto something, but at the end of the day, it's like the defense has gotten better. And the scoring, the lack of it, could be down to injuries, could be down to Bruno just cooling off. You look at the form that he was at versus where he's at now. But I also think like there are goals in this team. I just think we haven't been playing well enough, and we got to get some of the boys back into the fold. And to be honest, also the game's becoming like thick and fast, right? Ole said it. The boys are playing every 3 days, and it's basically the same 11, give or take.
No, totally. And that's part of it. It's just like you just got to survive. You look at March fixtures, it's just survive. That's the mentality. Is like you just got to take it on the chin, try to win as many games as possible, and kind of see what happens because we're not really getting any breaks until April. Sir. And then, we have 11 games left and we got a big one, sir. That's right. We have the next match, Manchester City versus Manchester United at the Empty Had, sir. The city is yours. The city is yours. Was it 60,000 empty seats? Are you fucking sure? Probably not, sir. I think Manchester is red as per usual. Sunday, March 7th, 8:30 a.m. Pacific, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. Nice kickoff time. Big match. Pep Guardiola and his men going for the 22nd consecutive win. That is right. Can you believe it? 21 consecutive wins to date with the Wolves comeback. They're playing us. They're going for 22. They're going for records, sir. We can be a spoiler here, and we might just end the run. They come back to earth, and we win our 21st title, sir. 21 is it's everything right now.
I don't know if 21 is happening in 21, but I would love to take a poof out of Pep's scarf that he will surely be wearing on Sunday, sir. It's going to be a massive one. But, you know, they're flying high, sir, but they need to get socked in the face by the red side of Manchester, the proper side of Manchester, the plastic club, oil money FC. Have you met any fans, sir? That's all I got to say. It's a massive match, and we know the formula to beat them. We just got to perform. We got to play well.
No, absolutely. And Lifetime versus Shitty, we've won 76, drawn 53, lost 55. Sir, first time we played them was October 1891. It was Ardwick versus Manchester United. We won 5-1 in the FA Cup. How about repeating that? Like we mentioned, City has a 21-game win streak. Unbelievable, sir. They have not... they basically have not lost since December 15th when they drew West Brom. And then guess who they played the match before? That was us playing 0-0. Since City has gone undefeated, we have won 11, drawn 8, and lost 2, sir. So that's not terrible. City winning all 21, we won 11, we drew 8, and lost 2. Only 2 losses in that comparative time frame. You think this, you know, the sky was falling for Manchester United fans right now. And I think, got to put in a little bit of perspective. Only 2 losses. Yes, too many draws. Yes, we left tons of points on the table. You know, you add a few wins out of there, sir. Easy wins, the Everton one. You don't lose to Sheffield United. You beat Crystal Palace, and we're in the title race right now. And that is what is so tough for fans to watch.
No, because that's it, what you said. It's like this team, it would have been tough to chase because they're in hell of form. They have a strong side. But we should be a lot closer than we are heading into this game, and that's the most frustrating thing. Is even if we win, the mountain is insanely high. Insanely high. And that's the thing. It's like you should have had it within reaching distance, and it won't be because we dropped so many points like you talked about. The Everton game, the West Brom game. So we probably can't remember the other points that we dropped weeks before that, but they were points that we should be picking up. But you know what? You're only as good as your next game, and we often sink or rise to our opponents, sir. So I think we can get up for our derby.
Coming into the game, City beat Tottenham 3-0, Everton 3-1, Arsenal 1-0, Malin Block in the Champions League 2-0, West Ham 2-1, West Ham almost did us a favor, and then Wolves, they were drawn, and then they came back, big comeback in the last 10 minutes, 4-1. So City are just, you know, they're getting a little lucky, and I like how, you know, they basically set the record for English clubs, and they're looking to pass Real Madrid, who had 22 game win streak, and Bayern Munich, who has the basically world record at 23 win streak in top flights around the relevant top flights in probably European football if you were to qualify the record, and they're going for that. And we can stop them, which is great, sir. We can stop them at 21. We could start the run for 21 in 21 and win 21. What do you say?
I was saying only a nil-nil tie would basically end their run, and that could be what happens on Sunday. But we need a win. I mean, I think 21 is probably a bridge too far at this point, but if there's going to be any kind of just fan nonsense hope, it starts with a win on Sunday at the Etihad.
Well, I broke it down. The gap is 14 points. We win, cuts it to 11. 10 matches to play, sir. As far as the games left in the league for Man City, they face only two top six sides in their last 10 matches. That's Leicester and Chelsea. Those teams aren't going to be doing us any favors. They do play Everton and Tottenham, but they are a little out of the top six at the moment. But still, you got Leicester, Chelsea, Everton, and Tottenham. They lost all of those games. We went on a 10-game win streak. We wouldn't even get there.
No. So I think if they lost them all,
we would win. We would win the title.
Basically. If they lost them all.
All four.
Which they're not going to do. Based on the form they're in.
Unless we 11,
unless we like drive a screw in, really beat them bad this weekend, and then they just kind of like get to their head and they fall apart.
They got to come back. So if we beat them and then they lose the next match, and then it's close it to eight.
Assuming we win.
And then they're nervy. You know, there's, sir, I'm always,
sir, I appreciate it, but so we're giving you you're reaching, bro. Sir, 14 points.
Sir, we're giving you the bias fan view from the couch. And I'm not going to say never until it's mathematically out, especially as a Manchester United fan. Do you think people who are in Barcelona watching us play Bayern Munich gave up on us in stoppage time? No.
So that team was good. We were playing real good football.
I'm just telling you.
We had to beat so many good teams to get into the 99 final in the first place.
So it's not over till it's over.
No, it's not. You're right. And it's also about pride, and it's about making progress and going from third to second to first. And we should be the best of the rest. It's down too low, so you got to turn it up.
Solskjaer has won it!
Long to hear that. We just need to win a fucking trophy this year for Ole. Take some of the heat off his back. The Glazers aren't spending. We need them to sell. Sell this club.
Absolutely. Little history on Man Shitty. Founded in 1880 as St. Mark's West Gorton, it became Ardwick Association Football Club, AAFC, in 1887, and Man Shitty in 1894 after they copied Manchester United, who previously changed their name before they did. Sir, we heard about the match fixing scandal in the late 1800s. We covered that in the history podcast. They're always a terrible club. They're always our big rival. We absolutely hate them. Sir, we always sing Kick in the Blue. Nobody is a fan of this club, despite having them win 21 games. Pep Guardiola.
Call him that, whatever.
Pep Guardiola.
He's the worst.
The worst. I mean, you talk about the fashion, you talk about what he's got to say, the Amazon documentary, everything
the
about
teams.
Pep.
He has to win the most stacked teams of all time.
We want to ruin the Pep party. And the footballing gods are perfect, sir. They've won 21 games. We're coming into their house. They could have won the title when they played us before, and we smacked them around the pitch with an amazing comeback. I really think if you want to talk about themes with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, when it looks shit and we got a big match coming up, usually he delivers. It's pulls the rabbit out of the hat, sir. And this is a big moment because United fans know if we lose this game 6-0, it's going to be real bad news for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And usually in this scenario, he's able to finagle some sort of counterattack setup. Dan James gets the winner, something crazy. I'm hoping for it. Big game this weekend.
No, and you know what? I think you're right, because that is a theme. There are themes to this current Manchester United side, and one of them is they like to get up for a derby. I know we got rolled in the EFL Cup. We got outclassed in that game. That was kind of like that. Hopefully, you know, that's likely the team we're going to face. They were in top form. They're in top form heading into this game. We just have to play better than them, and we got to beat them up on the pitch, you know, because that's the thing. That's the only way we're going to win this match is by being more physical, winning those 50-50 balls. And Dan James counterattack.
Absolutely. And a big impact to Manchester United right now is going to be injuries. Let's check in with the physioroom.com. Paul Pogba. Sir, you're gonna mark that out another week. He might make AC Milan. That's the word on the street. Not going to be available for the derby. As far as Donny van de Beek, no return date, sir. Same with Juan Mata. Martial, hopefully he should be healthy. He got a knock, although he's probably reading up on how to score goals again. David De Gea, personal issues, could not play. We have no clue if he's going to be available for the Derby. That'd be a big game for Hendo to step up in. And Phil Jones, probably not playing for Manchester United again this year. That's the Edward Woodward special. You're going to get rid of Chris Smalling. You're going to re-sign Phil Jones, who never plays for United again.
This year, are we giving him a new contract? Are we perennial no, youngster?
He did. Like, it was like a when he gave Phil Jones the extension.
Under Jose, right?
It was you said like, what?
It was 2 years ago. It was like only 2 years ago. He still wasn't playing then.
But you already got Bailly made of glass. You got Phil Jones made of glass. And then you're going to extend Phil Jones?
It's Ed Woodward. He's got no idea what he's doing.
Exactly. So that's why we're dying. Given those injuries, what is your lineup for Derby Day?
I guess I'm going to go with De Gea. I think he makes it. I think he's always going to be necessary when we're going to be riddled with shots like we're likely to face on Sunday. AWB, Bailly, Maguire, and Shaw in the back line. I'm going to do Fred, McTominay, Bruno, Rashford on the left, Cavani up front, Dan James on the right.
I'm going to say Hendo starts it. I don't know why De Gea is out, but if he has something going on in his personal life, probably not ready for the Manchester Derby. Wan-Bissaka on the right, Lindelof, Maguire. I got to get the Iceman in there. Shaw on the left, Fred, McTominay in midfield, Bruno. I'm doing Rashford, Cavani, and James as well. I think you need that Greenwood coming on off the bench for maybe Cavani. You can put James on the left. You can put Greenwood on the right and put Rashford down the middle. Just sort of switch the energy up top. I think countering is going to be critical. I think James ran riot in the last couple of games he's been playing, and I love to see that. You got to reward him with the big start. Booking the bookies, City, huge favorites, minus 180 to win, draw plus 300. Manchester United win plus 500. That's insulting, sir. That's a sad day for Manchester United fans. As far as to score first, Sergio Aguero plus 350. Jesus plus 400. Raheem Sterling plus 460. Bruno Fernandes plus 900. Cavani plus 900. Anthony Martial plus 1,000 with Marcus Rashford. That is the highest odds we've ever seen for any Manchester United striker to score ever on this podcast. They are rating us just get murked, sir.
They're also saying that like their defense is very good, hard to score against, and they're not wrong. They've conceded like 15 goals, 16 goals this season in the league. They're going to be a tough one to break down, but you know what? They're going to be pushing forward against us. They're going to be cheeky as shit, spitting on the badge. I wish we had Herrera for that. Sorry, I hate it. I hate City. They're everything wrong with football in the modern day, unfortunately.
Absolutely, as is Chelsea scum, sir, as is a lot of them. But you know why you have big rivals is because Manchester United, biggest club in the world. Given that is the breakdown, what is your score prediction?
I hate to do it. What are the odds, sir? Four in a row, 0-0. I'm calling it 0-0.
How dare you?
Sorry, it's in the cards.
Sir, what did we beat? I'm going to say 3-1 to Manchester United. Finally, an exciting game. Maybe kill it in the late minutes, but United 2-1 nervy McTominay with another goal in a big match. Scotty McSauce got to step up here, sir.
I'd love it.
Jumping in United in the news, covering the latest Manchester United news. All the rags out there printing this BS.
Keeping us busy.
You want to know how good of a businessman Ed Woodward is? This latest article will tell you. Financially crippled Inter Milan missed payment to Manchester United for Romelu Lukaku. That is right. When Ed Woodward sells a player for a loss, he paid more for Lukaku, sold him for a loss to Inter Milan. He doesn't even get cash for him. Doesn't even get paid the money. That is unbelievable. You want to talk about these payables outstanding or these receivables. You have a receivable to other football clubs that are basically broke, and now it's going to turn into a player negotiation for cash, and so we're going to try to be picking random players off Inter Milan instead of actually having the $50 million to then go buy Erling Haaland or Jadon Sancho. You want to know why we couldn't afford Jadon Sancho? It's because Ed Woodward told, hey, Inter Milan, you don't need to pay me any money for Romelu Lukaku. We're just going to give him to you, and you can pay me in 3 years from now.
Apparently, they still owe us like £43 million, and we're waiting on that. They missed the payment of $4 million around a bonus, and then that triggered that all of it's due at once, which is insanely $40 million, which is more than half of it.
Yeah, but the reason why it's so structured is because Woodward's a terrible negotiator,
terrible,
right?
Terrible. He's one of the worst. Dude, he's one of the worst CEOs in football, other than like the guy from Barcelona who's literally headed to prison.
Yeah, Lukaku's killing it.
He's killing it.
He's killing it, and they haven't paid us.
I know. We should just get Lukaku back.
We've literally sold Lukaku for $30 million.
It's insane.
The goals he scored for Inter Milan, it literally cost him $30
million. The top of the league.
We bought, how much was Lukaku? 80? High 70s?
Yeah.
And we literally got $30 million back. You want to know why Manchester United doesn't have cash on the balance sheet? Why we're not going out and buying players? It's because of shit business like this from Eddie Woodward. And guess what? Yeah, he goes around, tells all the press, it's $75 million, $75 million, $75 million. Yeah, in your dreams. absolutely worst, buy high, sell even lower, and then don't even let your rivals pay you while he's going around scoring goals. You think we could use some goals from Lukaku? I mean, at the end of the day, if no one's going to pay, then he should be at United. Because the way we're running this club, clearly Ole isn't hand-picking Cavani or Igalo on the last day of the transfer window. And so why can't he fit a Lukaku into the team? Because right now we need goals and we're dying. So why are you selling him for nothing?
Especially if we're not getting any cash out of it that we can even use, right? And there's $40 million that's just locked up that probably are we getting? Or are they just giving us a player?
So
they don't have the cash.
They don't have the cash. And also, I would imagine you would do due diligence on the financial solvency of the person that owes you money, because that is also good business to do, Ed Woodward. Again, you can give me a ring.
Well, there's a coronavirus that did happen. The COVID happened.
This is true. But but that's a risk of doing a deal. No, you understand? Like, you know, there's risks of doing deals. And if you're the person that owes you a lot of money is insolvent, then you're going to have to get a little clever. And we're talking about getting Skriniar, some other players, sir. So, like, you want to talk about who Ole wants. We're Manchester fucking United, and we're literally going to be like getting random players. I mean, these are good players, Minner. We're getting players into our team based on bad negotiation from Ed Woodward. Why wouldn't you want the $75 million cash to go buy Jadon Sancho? Go buy Erling Haaland. And instead, Inter Milan can't pay you, so then you're going to go pick a random player off their team that Ole might not rate, and therefore Ed Woodward's business dealings are hurting Manchester United as a club further and further and further. Hashtag Glazers out. Hashtag Zach Woodward. Can't say it even more. You can't make this shit up.
I can't really wait to see how this all plays out. Like they missed a payment. You owe us money or a player. Well, what player is going to be like, oh, I can't wait to join under this circumstance, under these conditions? It basically has like a blown up transfer deal because it was structured incoherently by Ed Woodward, who is all about just basically taking money out for the Glazer family.
Well, that's all I think this got leaked by United, because the whole point is Manchester United are going to have to turn this negative into a positive, and I think they're trying to spin it like, hey, we're going to get a player. They're like, Inter Milan's not going to be like, hey, we can't pay you, we're broke. They're not going to go to the press and be like, hey, write about this. So United are going to try to spin this into a, hey, we're going to get Martinez or Skriniar. And I think you're starting to see, like, there are some press outlets still printing the bullshit about, like, United's in for Haaland, United's in for Haaland, Sancho and Haaland coming to United. And then you're seeing the actual news, which is like, no, we're probably going to be haggling with a club that's in bankruptcy for some contract with their players because we actually don't have cash that they otherwise could have given us to buy who we want, which we can't. So you're going to see more of the Cavani big wage deals type of thing, not really doing any big upfront transfer fees. And this is the type of thing I think you're going to see from us this summer. That's why it's kind of bleeding to the top right now.
But where do you even like settle a disagreement like this? That's like basically a contract, but it's over a player's right. It's going to be a mess. This doesn't seem straightforward. We're not going to like pick up a player in a couple months or whenever the transfer window opens. It seems like a shit show in the making.
No, it's basically if you can come to terms to settle the fee based on them canceling a contract with a player who then will negotiate with you, then it does make sense. Otherwise, United can sue them for the money, but then they can go into bankruptcy, sir, right? And then the Italian form of bankruptcy, I'm sure, is a joke. And that could take even more years, right. Which, again, is why you don't let financially insolvent clubs owe you big amounts of money. Next bit of news on the same topic, Manchester United Solskjaer on summer spending. We must be realistic with money. Ole came out, quote, it's definitely affecting everyone in football this pandemic. Of course, the lack of income and the finances has affected everyone. It might affect us as well. We have to be realistic and responsible in the way we do our business on both on and off the pitch. These are improvements on the training ground, stadium. We have to look at the whole picture. Where can we spend the money and how much is there? This is just the real world right now. It has changed. I think there's going to be less and less transfer happening in the world of football with all these changes. Sir, that sounds like you read that off the Glazers script. You're shaking your head. You're upset. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, he's only Mr. Nice Guy. And, you know, he's just basically saying what they want to say. You know, not saying, hey, they could have fixed the stadium a long time ago. Hey, they've taken $1 billion out. They're still taking the dividend when they only have $58 million in cash on the balance sheet. A lot of tough times at Manchester United, right? And Ole's kind of toeing the party line, which is to be expected. I don't think he's going to break from them, but it's hard to hear him say it.
Well, just look at how much we spend in the summer and look who is spending money. It's like the problem is that there's going to be this kind of gap that establishes even more so now because of COVID, because all the normal clubs who rely on match day income to, you know, fund transfer budgets aren't spending. And then who spent all the money last summer? It's Chelsea and City, because, dude, they're basically like backed by either a Russian crook or just an entire country as a PR operation. So it's going to be very difficult for us to challenge going forward, especially with the Glazers at the helm, sir. They are sucking every dollar off the place. And Ole's not lying. He knows. He's like, he probably went with his targets and they probably laughed at him. Was like, dude, you're getting, keep looking, bro. Look down at a championship.
No, they know he's been told there's no money. I exactly. mean, here at the America Red Devils, look, we tell you there's no money. There's $58 million on the balance sheet as of September. Tomorrow, Ed Woodward does the conference call, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Thursday, March 4th. He'll be going over the financial news. It will drop at the close of the market. I will be on those numbers. I'll be tweeting out what he says as well. Again, more of the same. They're just going to talk about, we're very optimistic about getting fans back. It's just like going to be very rosy, and they're going to try to gloss over how bad the financials have been. I think they're break-even, essentially, so you're going to see maybe a modest increase to that $58 million in cash, but not much. They're banking on fans coming back. They're banking on selling players and then using that to fund the transfers or funding it with wages, like the Cavani deal. That's the perfect example. Everyone was talking they're going to sign Jadon Sancho last summer. America Red Devils, we ran the numbers, not happening. We're going to get Cavani wage deals. That's exactly what happened. So there's a little more flexibility this time around because they kind of know the pandemic is ending and there are going to be some sales. You know, we probably can sell some Lingard. If you might get cheeky, get 20. You could sell Pogba for 50. You could get 70. You could spend that right away. In a structured manner, you know, they could sell the stadium naming rights to Maui Jim. We always talk about this stuff. I'll be breaking down an article about the new financials on the website. You can click on hashtag Glazers Out at www.americaredevils.com where we break all this stuff down. But it's important to understand they ran this club terribly and it was in a poor financial position right before the pandemic hit. And that's why we're not signing players, right? That, you know, Manchester United in the past, we've had $300 million on the balance sheet. Like, it's no big deal. But at the time in how they were running it, they ran the cash really low. And then the pandemic hit the absolute worst time. That's why we're seeing United just can't do shit in the transfer window, sir, because we've been sitting on no money and they're still taking their dividend. That's the thing that's fucked up.
Dude, a crime, bro. The two dividends is like Upamecano, you know, like our Bruno Fernandes fee. It's £50 million they paid for two fucking dividends during the pandemic. Sorry, it's not good enough. And you know what? It's not going to change until fans get vocal about it, because this summer you're not seeing big spending. We ain't buying Haaland. We ain't buying major players. The next story we're going to talk about, the only way it's even viable is via a swap deal. So that's going to be what we're doing, like bargain bin stuff, you know?
Yeah,
wages, no, swaps.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, I love this fucking club.
All day.
I hate this fucking ownership.
Hate them.
Hashtag Glazers Out. They're going to sell it. They structured it to sell. They will sell it. It's 3 to 5 years. Trust me here when I say that. We'll be doing this podcast when we do sell, sir, and we'll be dancing in the street. Woo! Dancing in the street. It's going to be great. We get champagne, everything. Glazers out. It'll be great. We just hope the human rights record of the future no owner off. Is like good. Yeah, no, that's all I hope for. Next bit of news here. Real Madrid prepared to sell Rafael Varane. Where have I heard this one before? Apparently, it was 1 year left on his deal. It's running down. He's looking for big money wages. United like to pay big money wages, sir. What do you make of this? Could be a POG swap, something.
So that's what, you know, I usually hear Varane, you think there's bullshit in this, but, you know, Real are kind of on the slide, and he's won everything he needs to win. At Real Madrid, why not? It's a good time to come and get paid fat money. And you know what would make sense is a POG swap, sir. It's like, yeah, POG was 28, yeah. Varane's 27. They both won the World Cup. They're both studs, and that feels like a pretty fair swap.
No, I do agree, but then, you know, we're talking about how we miss Paul Pogba in this team, and then we're going to get rid of Paul Pogba, which, you know, we're getting rid of Paul Pogba.
He's always going.
I hate to break it to you, fans. He's going because, well, here's the deal. He most likely is going, but it's going to be a buy high, sell low Woodward thing. I think people are going to be real cheeky with getting Pogba. It's going to be really hard. Like, I say 50, but I think I'm like smoking something, because fans, when they hear Ed Woodward wants 50, they're going to give him 25. They're going to give us such a low ball for Paul Pogba because they know they can get him for free in a year, and it could go into that situation.
Well, that's why this is like the best case scenario, is that they have a player that's also on the last year of their contract that doesn't want to resign. It seems like the stars a little bit aligned. Both French, you know, both want to go to the, you know, I don't know if Varane wants to come play at Manchester United.
He'd be great.
And he would be great. And he'd be great with Maguire. He's exactly who Maguire needs. But it's, sorry, you're saying there's a chance it'd be a great deal for us to do broke-ass owners, not buying anybody. Let's just do a swap. He's leaving anyway. Pogba wants out.
No, totally. Sir, we can go all day about the ownership. Let's get into the banter. Thank you for all the comments, questions on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, etc. We love to read it. It's going to be hot, sir. Bunker, turn the temp up here in the bunker. Starting to kicking off at Burkett Mets. Quote, with the lack of Glazers investment, that is what is expected with an injured Paul Pogba. No one in the back six is able to find Bruno in a meaningful position. As much as I want the Raiola drama gone, Pogba can't leave without being replaced. We go again on Sunday. We talked about the Phil Jones, Jesse Lingard, Matic swap for Declan Rice, sir. Why are we talking about these crazy swap deals?
Because we're broke, because we got no cash. And that's, I guess that's the way Eddie likes to play ball. You know, sign players at the big contracts and then hope to deal them later in a shit deal. But
I like Declan Rice.
No, I like Declan Rice.
Would he be a good replacement for Paul Pogba? Obviously a different player, but since we got Bruno, you know, the whole Pogba, we got Bruno and Donny.
He's,
you know, and then you get Rice. Rice isn't quite, it doesn't have the flair of Pogba, but you don't necessarily need that in midfield too if Ole's playing that way, right?
Rice is like an upgrade to Fred. You know, he's like a CDM that could also play the ball forward. I think Pogba, you want Donny van de Beek to play, right? We have our replacement. He was just injured today. And if not, we should be added. And I agree. You don't just want one backup. Grealish, baby. He's not exactly like for like, but he's the kind of player that if you're going to go for a Rice, I think you go for a Grealish. It's like Premier League proven. If you're going to pay out of the ass, which you are anyway, might as well take the guy who's creating more chances than anyone else in the league.
All right. Our boy at @Jordan_R. Great tweet here. Quote, would love to know how many players in the starting 11 do you think would make a title winning team? I think my number is embarrassingly low. Now, I'm going to say starting 11 because obviously Cavani would be a great bench player. On a title winning team, sir. How many players you get go through the 11? How many would you say would be? So I guess the way to answer is that you look at City, how many United players would play in City's title winning team right now? 21 wins.
Well, I mean, based on the performance they had today, very few, but like on their day, you know, you would say Rashford is probably good enough. Bruno, Ari, you know, like Luke Shaw right now is playing really good football. And that's probably it, sir. That's going to make it into City side.
Sorry, Jordan, if I kind of warped that, but I'm saying how many would make it in a title winning team? And so you would say, okay, how many would make it into Liverpool last year or City this year, right? That would be the standard. Yeah, I think you're right. I think Marcus Rashford would make it. I think Paul Pogba, healthy Paul Pogba would make it. Luke Shaw, I'm probably more on the fence. I think De Gea, you know, you think about De Gea being Harry. Yes. Aaron Wan-Bissaka is pretty good, you know. And so we got some pieces. You're right, Jordan. There's a lot of filler there. So maybe 5 to 6.
Greenwood will get better. You know, he couldn't become a player that wins the title, right? Also, dude, City would have sold De Gea by now if he was had the slide. We get a little sentimental over players, and now we're just like
he's I like De Gea.
Okay. I know you like De Gea.
I like De Gea.
Tell me again, you like De Gea.
I like De Gea. I like De Gea, sir.
David De Gea has saved us.
Saved Bengal,
sir.
David De Gea has saved us.
De Gea.
I don't miss that voice.
At Odell Red Devil, quote, clean sheet for Henderson, tricking myself into believing we're saving it all for Sunday. # Glazers out. I like that tweet as well. I mean, you think of the 21 compared to the 21 of City. They won all 21. 11 wins, 8 draws, 2 losses. Not terrible. Not title winning, though. But did we think we were a title winning team coming in? Come on.
No.
Come on.
We did, we were top for a hot minute.
We're spoiled brats, you know. We're just like the kid on Christmas that got everything but like one gift, and we're just whinging it. It's like coming in this year, we barely made top. As long as I don't have to sweat top four in the last fucking game.
Well, we get beat
then
bad.
I'm happy.
We get
I'm
beat
happy.
Bad by City on Sunday. We're gonna be sweating. We're sweating.
If
bro.
I have to sweat top four this year, I will actually be mad. You will hear me upset on this pod. That's the line. As long as you can just like cruise top four and just be like, second place, you know, we're good. But if we start cratering and it becomes like an issue, then I will be
this is shit or swim
start
time.
If we start looking at the Europa League as like the way to get Champions League, then I will be upset. Like that was last year though. So haven't we improved? If we avoid that, I think we improve.
If we avoid that, but you know what? I think we're also, you know, we've been lucky. Not lucky, but, you know, people around us have dropped points. But either way, it's not about how you start or finish. Well, it is how you finish. So we got a lot of games left, sir. The City game is a big one. I think this is a defining moment in the season. I think we get like, you get a big win. I'm not saying we're winning the title, but let's tighten the gap.
We watch every game. We're delusional,
bro. Sorry, we watch every game and then break it down, bro. I'll tell you,
sometimes breaking it down is more fun than watching.
Oh, it's way more. I tell you, it's more fun than today.
From the bottom of our hearts, thank you for all the comments. We love the fan questions here. At Jamal Mota, sirs, uninspired display from United in the fog. I guess a drawing streak is improvement from Ole instead of a losing streak. We miss Paul P. At this point, we need Haaland more than Sancho. Somebody take the ball right at the defense and score goals. Onto the derby. Hashtag lasers out. I agree. And the fog was a big element, too. The zebra and the fog, sir.
Usually we come alive in the zebra, sir. We're firing goals past PSG in the zebra, but today we look like shit. That was piss poor. It was hard to watch.
At Red Devil Woody, they had no ideas today. We have no threat on the right-hand side. Very wasteful. Fred is not United quality. He can't pass, can't shoot, can't tackle. What does he do? Subs in the 70th minute. What the fuck? Takes Cavani off for somebody that dropped balls in where Cavani should have been. Sir, you know, that's a spicy take from at Red Devil Woody there.
Hey, he's not right about Fred. Fred's not making it. No title win inside, sir.
No. He said Fred is not United quality.
Yeah, he's a backup, but he's like, he costs more than Bruno Fernandes.
Like, I think, you know, I think Fred is a great player on the bench. He's durable. He can do a job. He works hard. He should be playing against the Crystal Palaces of the world. This is like where his bread's buttered. I just think you might need like the Declan Rice next to him. Fred McTominay do a job if you're trying to outwork and counter big teams or, you know, But I do agree. He's not starting 11 United quality at the moment.
No, he's not.
Because you got to score.
You have to be able to pass from midfield. When like Tom cleverly, you know, outshines him on the ball, that's not a good sign.
Amen, brother. At Bilstro, quote, this is who we are. We lack creativity. Pogba is dearly missed with this squad. But even with him in the lineup, he's our only true creative outlet. The strikers, no matter who, have been and will struggle when you're not creating chances for them. This is tactical failure. One comment on that, the movement from Cavani and Greenwood and Rashford today was poor. Like, there's not a lot going up. They're not creating space, not doing a lot of movement, and Bruno isn't given a lot of options. So, I mean, a few times the left opened up, it looked great. Other than that, there was nothing doing, and, you know, I think you got to try a little more. I don't know if that's on Ole or the players, but the movement was off today. Like you said, the center backs, it was easy. Crystal Palace played. We played right in front of them. The center backs didn't sweat a thing. At one clearance.
Every United fan, we just played like shit. Scratchy passing, gave the ball away. No consistency, no cohesion, nothing doing. We didn't seem to even trouble Palace today.
No, you hate to see it. T. Zolski, quote, is it too early to start worrying about top four?
No.
Take the three clean sheets in a row, but three-game goalless drought is really concerning. If Bruno doesn't create, we have nobody else. Really miss Paul P. Not going to lie. Worried about Sunday. Hashtag Glazers out. You know, Todd, it is teeing up for you remember that Spurs defeat? It's kind of, you know, we kind of sleepwalked into that one. I feel like we're sleepwalking now, but Ole does have that uncanny, you know, pull it out of his hat, or you can say pull it out of somewhere else. To get a big result in a big game. So I really hope the lads are up for it.
We need it. We need a big win. I'm hoping we get one. You know, nothing will buoy the mood more. I tell you what, this fan base, we all need it. We need a big win and kind of wipe that smirk off Pep's face.
At Pistol Grip Poet, quote, there it is. United has found the cure for insomnia. I swear it is. I told you, I said the most uninteresting part of my day was watching the three in a row is tough, guys. I'm not gonna lie, three nil nils just in a nil nil is like the one argument I always try to, you know, being an American in the States, you talk about sports, and the one thing about football is that the nil nil you can't defend. You know, watching the nil-nil game, it's like that's just always rough. Like it's just it's not entertaining, no matter how many, like. I believe you were on the Real Sociedad nil-nil. You're like, it was really exciting. It's like, no, it's not.
Well, so that was a more. This was not
the
an ball exciting in
the
net. Game.
The whole game changes. It opens up. It's more exciting. The other team has to go for it, especially in the league. Without a goal, games are just dreadful.
So this is the third 0-0 in a week. The Thursday game, was it Saturday, Sunday? I don't even know. Wednesday now. It's like it was tough. It was tough for United fans.
At Lou underscore Dav 77 quote: "This is the latest installment of the boys." Is pathetic and lethargic. Where can we go from here? At United Dondo, quote, what was that uninspiring performance? No creativity for our attackers. Dino looked the only one wanting to really play. You can see we desperately need Paul Pogba and no intensity from us. Why have we been so stale lately? But Paul Pogba's not a workman, though. You know, is it just, does Paul Pogba solve all of our problems? I think on fire, Bruno Fernandes solves all of our problems, right?
No, I think this is more Bruno being off than not having Paul Pogba. We've gotten used to existing without Paul Pogba. He does not make many matches. He probably makes one out of every two matches at this point in his career because he has so many injuries. I think this is like Bruno has slowed down a little bit. People have kind of found a way to stifle him a bit. I think that's it. It's not the absence of Paul.
All right, we're going to finish it up here at U Boston. Top four looking increasingly unlikely. Defeats in the next two looking increasingly likely. Hard to keep defending Ole's project with this kind of result. Another year without the angelic voices is not what the doctor ordered. Also, Woody should be fired. Thank you very much for the Woody being fired part. That's the best part of the tweet. Top four looking increasingly unlikely, sir. What do you make of that comment? You are you stressing about top four at all right now?
I'm not stressing about top four, but I don't want to start stressing about top four. And as soon as we drop from second, which we could have to below, right? Leicester dropped points against Burnley, so lucked out there, and we still have the goal differential. Then you start worrying about top four. But in second place, I don't worry, but we can start worrying pretty quickly. I'll tell you what, Chelsea beat Liverpool tomorrow, and then we lose, and then we got to play the Hammers. It gets worse and real quick.
It's 6 points. You know, it's going to be three if we lose, right? It could be three if we lose. It's a race for top. It's a race. We're in a good position in the race, and yes, we can absolutely bottle it. But I'm hoping that the 3-0 that's the lull, and I'll take it. And we're gonna chip up from here. I'm hoping for a result this weekend. If we get just battered by shitty, then I'll be a little concerned.
Oh yeah,
but then the Ole firing rumors will start, and then Ole will pull the rabbit out after that, and then he'll come back. You know what I'm saying? Or
they're already gonna start. I can't, even at second in the league, they probably already started.
I'm telling you, I forget what it was. I think I was just like had the match on the background, Sky Sports, and they talked about Europa League, and I almost had a panic attack because I was like,
we're playing Europa League.
No, but I'm saying like it's my nightmare. It's like literally, it's like my nightmare. We're back playing Europa League, and then we're gonna be fighting for top four, and like barely make it. Like this is just one of those things where it's
big,
like
it's a big weekend. It's a big game. And you're making this game even bigger than it.
We're like always at the wheel, number one in the table, sir. We're just like loving it. We're like partying, and then all of a sudden we're like back to the Hans and Franz, and like worrying about getting top four, and so. Let's just hope we have a big game against shitty. We got to take it game by game. It's going to be a big march. Got to back the lads with everything. They need it. It's been tough schedule for them, sir. I think we're going to gut it out, but I just hope it's not. Better not come down to last game.
No, bro. Wolves. Last game of season's Wolves, so get ready.
Yeah.
Of course. I know. I already looked. I looked, bro, because it's like it always comes down to the last game.
All right, sir. Thank you. That is the podcast. Thank you, everyone who listens to the American Red Devils. Like we said, we're four fans, by fans. You want to support the podcast, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Check out our blog, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. We have amazing fan-generated content there. You're supporting independent fan content. That's what it's all about. For fans, by fans. Click on store. We have some great merch. We're going to be adding our new merch that we just got in with our Stanley Chow new ARD logo on it, so please check that out. In a week or two, we'll probably get that up. Alex is the Amazon logistics warehouse, so you know he's just got to get up and running.
Working overtime, baby. Pod never sleeps.
Exactly.
For fans, by fans, we love this club more than anything. It felt just as shitty watching that game for you guys as it did for us. So don't worry.
No, absolutely. And sir, we had a hell of a week of downloads. You want to give us our top 10 cities last 7 days?
Sir, absolutely. Number one, how you doing? Estes Park, Colorado. Number two, holy shit. Kunkashunkin, Pennsylvania.
No, so you got to back up. You got to say that again.
Coach Shunk and Hunk.
You know, it's like unbelievable.
Somebody from this town, let us know how you pronounce it.
Go for it.
Conshohocken.
Oh, sorry.
Pennsylvania. This guy, come on.
Keep going, bro. Spends a lot of time in Pennsylvania.
Chino, California. Manchester, United Kingdom. Boulder, Colorado. Telford, United Kingdom. Sir, I'll give you number 7 on the list.
Bengaluru, India. Number 8, Los Angeles, California. New York, New York. And last but not least, Courbevoie, France. Sir, how was that?
Courbevoie. Sir, we got Republic of South Korea, Dublin, Ireland, Havadarkale, Norway on the list. Thank you for everyone who downloads, listens to the American Red Devils. We have a blast, sir. We're all hoping, we're praying to the footballing gods. No more nil nils.
It's going to be all about kicking a blue this weekend, sir.
As always.
Kicking a blue.
Just kidding. As always, sir.
Kicking a blue. It's kicking a blue. Roll the big toss.